As we enter this season, Advent into Christmas, we are again struck, I think, I am always, and I think it's always a good reminder to me of that double ring, that already not yet, that just permeates really all of a Christian's life. We have the hope of renewal and the reality of brokenness. We have the birth of a Savior and his death and the hope of a returning. The Old Testament readings, they're pointing to something. A desire for a Savior. A longing. And we experience that longing ourselves. You know, I was struck as I was at work, and I have a little speaker that I keep my desk, and I again broke down, and now finally got Christmas music up, right? So I just, on Spotify, I just had Christmas songs. And it had Christmas songs. Again, most of them were the secular variety. You know, of course, here comes Santa Claus, and, you know, I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Okay, those kind of silly sort of things. But there was a lot of even this secular sort of version of Christmas songs of longing for peace and for joy, of you know, togetherness, community. And you see that kind of theme all through these, even the secularized versions of these songs. And so I just was kind of hopeful that in this season we have the basis for that hope. You know, people are thinking along these lines of the desire for peace. As we look to world events, we can look to the Prince of Peace. As we look to the atrocities of war and all the awful things that go on, we can look to the King and his mercy and his justice. We can look to the past, to the Old Testament promises and their desire to come out of exile and take comfort in that, in our own exile here today. The question I have for us today is a simple one. It is, if we consider this time now as waiting, right? So next week, Pastor Kevin is going to be here, and he's going to talk about waiting, all right? We kind of flip the Advent schedule a little bit, right? But my question is then, if we're waiting, if that is what's going on in this time now, we are waiting for a second coming. We are anticipating that. We are anticipating the kingdom of God to be made whole again. Then how do we do that? How do we wait? What are we about? What are we doing? That is the question. And I think that is what we'll see as we walk through these four passages of scriptures that are read today. As we consider how do we wait. We started off in the familiar words of Isaiah chapter 40. I'll just turn there myself. Again, common in this Christmas season is the reference to John the Baptist. But as we consider what was going on here, this was a prophecy that Isaiah had for King Hezekiah, looking forward to a time after an exile, which Hezekiah and then his son Manasseh were going to really precipitate. And we see that first off, as we are waiting, as we are enduring together, we take comfort. We can take comfort in God. Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly. Her hard service has been completed and her sin has been paid for. That even then there's this anticipation of what the Savior do for us. And then now we, in this forward sight of what happened, can take comfort in that. Even now, even in the ridiculous sufferings and the things we see in this world, we take comfort in God, that He's with us, that He loves us, that He cares for us, that He has His Spirit with us in a very real way. We want to take comfort in that. And we also then prepare. We prepare. The reference, we'll see it again here, a voice cries out. It cries out as we are looking in Mark these last several months. And think about the kingdom of God. That is what we are about. We are about crying out in a way. The picture of lowering of mountains and raising of valleys is one of preparing for a king to come forward, to be enthroned. And so that is what we are about. As we are waiting, we are about that business, of that sort of crying out. With our voices, with our lives, with our actions in the community, we are getting ready. And what does that look like? It looks like the kingdom of God. That is what the waiting is. That is what getting ready is. And we've seen over and over as we've gone through this Gospel of Mark in the past weeks of what that is. The poor, the helpless, the persecuted, the marginalized, the exploited, the powerless, the sick, the hungry. And as we are about that business, we are waiting. And thirdly, I think this Isaiah passage points us to the comfort and the preparation and the trust. To trust in Him, to look to Him, not in human beings. All men are like grass, their glory is like the flowers. It withers, it fails. God does not. He is mighty. He is trustworthy. And we see He is like a caring shepherd that cares for His people, fights for His people, protects His people. And so as we are waiting, we take comfort and confidence in these words. Now, Psalm 85 continues those thoughts, I think, in some ways. It starts, you showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave iniquity to your people and covered all their sins. There's again this, in our waiting, we remember as we did here this morning with this table. A remembrance of what Christ has done. The sacrifice He made. The power invoked by God to raise Him from the dead. The availability of that power, of that life for us as His people. And so again, this remembrance is much more than just intellectually saying, oh, that happened. It's a calling forth, calling to God, hear us, Lord. As You've acted then, act now, please. Please. We need Your restoration. We need Your forgiveness. And then the verses 8 through 13 speaks of a confidence that God is for us. He promises peace for His people. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him. His glory may dwell. And there's this beautiful picture of peace and love and faithfulness coming together. Kissing each other. It's a picture. It's poetic. It gets us to think of closeness and intimacy that God is offering to us. As we consider the suffering of this world, that the promise is that things will be made right. There will be peace. We will be preserved. We will persevere. And there is salvation available to us. Love, faithfulness, righteousness, peace, goodness will increase, and we will partake in that increase. So as we wait, we remember these things. We come to the gospel reading in Mark chapter 1. Again, the familiar passage of John the Baptist. And it's here in the gospel that the lectionary folks, when they would put these things together, I think, gives us the link. As we are hoping, as we are remembering, as we are longing, as we are frustrated, as we seek comfort, as we seek peace. Mark points us to the object of that, which is Jesus. We are the echoes here of Isaiah 40, the one coming out of the wilderness, which was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist then points clearly that it is not me, it is this one, this Jesus. Unexpectedly, oddly, as we in this season of Advent think of a baby, as we consider his ministry and his march to the cross as a man who was not seeking things for himself, as we look forward to him coming again and making things right, it focuses on him. And that is, again, the focus of our waiting is Jesus. We think of him. We frame our lives around him. We consider him. What does he want? What is he seeking? And even just Jesus himself. Can you take comfort in him? Can you be satisfied with just him? If things fall apart around us as we see the brokenness of this world, as we consider the unexpected taking of an 18-year-old or the passing of a dear husband, friend, can we look to Jesus and say, you are enough? That was John the Baptist was calling us to understand. Here's the one. He's greater than I. Which then takes us then to this reading in 2 Peter. And 2 Peter, he is pointing to that second advent. Have to remember that. And we see it again in verse 1. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders. There it is again, remember. How often are we seeing in this age we live in, as we consider this double ring, the already not yet, the call over and over by God is remember people. Please remember. Don't forget. Don't forget. Call on me. I'm here. I'm with you. Remember me, is what the Lord is saying. And so we are reminded here again. We understand, as we see in verse 4, that waiting is difficult. It is hard to wait. I hate waiting. I hate a long line. You go to Quick Trip. There's two people in front of me. Hey, open up another register. You got to get going. We tend to lose patience. And we think about it now. We've been waiting 2,000 years, folks. 2,000 years. I've personally been waiting 57 years. It's a long time to wait. And sometimes in our patience, we just forget. It mentions here scoffers and selfishness. And I think sometimes the real danger is, you know, in our patience or just in us, our desire to do something. If I see a big long line at a store, I'm coming there and it's like, oh my gosh, that's ridiculous, right? I'll just go and do something else, all right? And then maybe later, I'll come back to it and the line should be down, right? There's terrible traffic out right now. I'm just going to stay at home, and then maybe later I'll get out on the street. Okay? Is that really waiting? It's not, is it? You're not waiting. You're taking things in your own hands. And that's what can happen to us. We get distracted. Instead of waiting, instead of having an attitude, a posture towards God,
of his coming and desiring that. We seek our own, maybe even for good things. We seek power or influence instead of the way of the cross. But the call that God has for us is to remember and wait. Now, fortunately, we see in 2 Peter here that God is patient. That his patience is seen. A thousand years a day is a thousand years. That he is not hasty, and we are the beneficiaries of that. For our sakes, he's waiting and holding off. He cares for us. He's graceful. He does not want anyone to fall away from him. So he gives opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for us. And we can rejoice in that. So then, I think, as I mentioned before, now the beginning, here we come to it. How do we prepare? How do we wait? And 2 Peter, at verse 11 on, outlines a few things for us. It says, you ought to live holy and godly lives. So it starts off with these two things of holiness and godliness. Holiness speaks of a separateness, a difference, to be different people. It looks forward to that process of sanctification that we speak of God making us more and more like him, even as the kingdom of God is more and more in our lives and spreading around us. He's working our hearts as individuals in him and as a church to be more and more like him. And it's not necessarily defined by do's and don'ts, right? The often we create holiness as I don't do this, I do this. And yes, there are things of that nature, but it's more of a living your lives in a way that is separate from the culture, the commonality, the selfishness, the seeking of power, the seeking of influence, the discard for those who might be in your way. You're told to be a holy community. And so we seek that. The idea of godliness is simply that of how we live our lives. There's an old word that we used to use was piety. And unfortunately, some folks, it can, some folks, any of us can, that idea can lead to some arrogance, but it's just the idea of being humble before God and accepting what he wants for us. The world tells us, buy more, have more. Money, influence, power, sex, clothes, cars. This is what you deserve. And a pious life, a godly life says, no, that is not what I need. I need Jesus. I need the kingdom of God. I need to help others. I need the poor to have food and not for me to have more. The needy need to be clothed instead of me having 18 pairs of jeans that I can choose from. That is a godly life that seeks him. So, here's my question. Are you waiting? Are you waiting? Again, not like there's a big long line, I'm going to go and do something and then I'll come back to waiting. Is your life framed around an idea, an anticipation, or an idea of waiting? Are your thoughts, your actions, your plans, your reactions, are they encouraged and empowered and acknowledged by a sense of anticipation of Jesus coming again and not around things this world? So, are you waiting? Is that part of your life? Is that something you consider? And what are you waiting for then? What are you waiting for? Are you ready? Are you waiting for Jesus to come with a sword and strike down your enemies? Are you waiting for your place to be elevated as one of his children?
Are you waiting to see Jesus? For things to be made right? For things to be as they should be? For the actual God's kingdom and His will being done? That is what we want to wait for. Now there's an interesting little thing in here. In verse 12. It says, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, or hastening its coming. What is that? That's very interesting. Because as we are waiting, Peter's suggesting that in some way we, in our waiting, can advance, speed up, encourage that second coming. Well, that opens a whole can of worms theologically, right? Does God not have a set day and time when Jesus is coming back in His foreknowledge of all things? How in the world that it's already set, how am I hastening it? How am I making it speed up? I think what's going on here is just that idea of God's, and this is unbelievable, it blows my mind, of God's use of human agents in moving forward His plans. And so we can, in a real way, in our, again, how that economy works, of Jesus and God working through us to establish the kingdom of God more and more and more, and in that, somehow, some way, that we are then moving towards it faster, sooner, I don't know. But it just tells us the business we should be about. That we can take hope in that. That when things, you know, things are really bad, they're awful, it's really getting desperate, possibly, for you, or something you see in this world. We can see in a real way that our actions of holiness, godliness, anticipation, waiting are in some way moving that closer and that hope that we can hang on a little bit longer. It's our doing kingdom business and anticipating His coming more and more and more. Are you waiting? How are you waiting? Is your life framed around a kingdom of God perspective? Now, again, I think all of us, can probably say yes and no. Kind of like already not yet. Kind of like He's coming, and He's been here and He's coming. That's how our lives are too, right? There are moments, there are probably times when we are focused and are, outlining our lives around some of these things. And then there are stretches where we get busy or frustrated or just come to an end of the day and go, I probably wasn't thinking in a waiting sort of a way. That's what we come together now. That's what the season can be about. Kind of a fresh understanding of God, help us to be Your people who wait. And so that is what we seek now in this time. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for You as we come into this season and remember the anticipation of a baby to be born and celebrating that, and the remembrance of a sacrifice given and the anticipation of Your coming again. Lord, help us to be a people who wait well, that we are mindful of Your coming. We're mindful of our agency to be alongside You in this. And we pray, God, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.